Welcome to the Music Matters podcast.
Hello everyone, welcome to the show. Today we are with M.R. Welcome aboard, bro.
Hey, thanks for coming on the show, brother. Thank you very much, man. Appreciate it.
No problem, man. No problem. Please, thank you, man.
I'm going to start off, buddy. Pretty simple question, to be fair, but where did your musical journey begin? Like, what got you started on your path? Do you have any, like, memories of the influences or artists or songs that kind of, like, got you on your little journey? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, man. I mean, from a young age, people like Bob Marley's, you know, my parents playing stuff like that. Even to like Irish folk music when I was young. Growing up, just like with my like older siblings and stuff like Shabba Ranks.
Shabba.
You know, the early drum and bass days when you got like, you know, Shabba D and, you know, the early drum and bass was heavily influenced by, you know, dancehall and reggae, you know, so.
100%.
Yeah, just kind of come from them times, you know.
I remember those days, my friend. I remember those days. I remember, like, the beginning of jungle and, you know, like you said, before drum and bass, really, it was the jungle days, mate. Like, I was there, man. I was at the party. Yeah. It was a good journey.
Turn down the headphones, brother. Turn down the headphones. Yeah. Sorry.
I met M.Dot at, a few raves because me and my boys, me and my friends from the U.K., we were from Rushenden area.
Yeah.
And we used to have the Yards.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had the boys from there. We used to get in like Mackie G, Funstar, Stormy, and all them boys. I remember Stormy used to come along. We had some fucking real big names.
R.I.P.
Like Mackie G, £50 for like fucking hours like a session. It was fucking sweet.
Yeah. We were lucky. Hey, they were some good days.
Yeah, man. Right?
Yeah.
What was the first track where like you sort of the first track that you ever made, and what was the process like to making your first song, and what is that process of making a song now different to back then?
It's not really much different to what it is, like the process, really, to be honest. I remember when I done my first song, I was in Lewisham in there was one little studio just off the high street. And one little side road, one brother called Jagwan did run the studio. And we was just there, me and a couple of the boys. We got one of the boys got the chorus together, you know what I'm saying? And we just done a little verse each. And yeah, man, I remember listening to the song about 100 million times, man. Yeah. On CD, I just listened to it over and over again, you know. But yeah, man, the process didn't really change, you know. Yeah, man, it don't really change.
Yeah.
How did you get into meeting the people, you know, like, so, you know, how did you think, right, I want to make a song, how did you get into contact with these people? Were they through people like you sort of know, or did you search?
It's just work, innit? It's just work, great man. When you put in work and you're doing stuff and you're active and you know, you get to link people or know people or whatever, you know?
Yeah,
man.
You've put in a lot of hard work, I'll give you that, man. 100%.
Respect, yeah, I have definitely.
It's all about relationships, hey, bro?
Sorry there.
All about relationships.
Yeah.
Right?
Definitely. It is as well.
At what moment do you think your career really kicked off? And like, you know, was there a certain track or anything that you can think back that really caused you to become kind of, you know, as popular as you are? Because obviously you got quite a few followers and I've watched quite a few videos and stuff like that. Like, was there a certain track or a video that really kind of like kicked you off and sort of spiked your interest, or not your interest, but other people's interest in your art?
Yeah, when I done this song called, it's funny because it's not really known that well considering it is known, but it ain't known. So 100 Gyal, that song there, like, so basically it was a freestyle and the original song that was on YouTube, the original 100 Gal freestyle, didn't actually go viral. It was a video of me spitting them lyrics over a different beat. And that's what hit a million views. So when people say to me now, 100 Gal, it ain't the actual official audio that they're even referring to. They're referring to the video that, that went viral, went round, whatever. So obviously, like, yeah, 100 Gal was like the like point where like everything changed from like a little couple of people to like a mass, mass amount of people, you know.
That must have been an amazing feeling, hey, when you get that.
No, man, it was shit, man, at the time.
Really?
You have to understand the way it was portrayed was a bit of a piss take.
Oh, really?
So it was like, it was a bit of a piss take. So it was like, it was more of like, oh, look at this white guy, Jamaican. And it was more of a piss take. A lot of people were laughing at it So for me to be like in the music industry for so many years and I've done certain things and respected, you know, in a lot of places and stuff, like, it was hard for me to take that on the chin. It's hard for me to see people laughing at me and whatever.
And disrespect. So
it weren't the greatest feeling. Yeah, but obviously, you know, it weren't until, like, BBC One Extra started contacting me and then this and that, and then I'm speaking to the people and saying, bro, you've blown. Like, you got over a million views, but, like, trust me, you're gone now. Like, and so, that was the changing point.
I would think, you know, like, and it's a cliche, but there's no bad kind of, you know, promotions, like, you know, any kind of exposure, even if it's negative, it sounds negative, it's still getting your name out there. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I get what you're saying. Like, I would totally be feeling the same way, but in a way, some more positivity came out of the negative responses than you could. Well, then those people would
ever, yeah, man.
Do you know what I mean?
Because in your lyrics of Flowers, you did say something about criticizing and I'll get millions of views, right? So into what I totally agree.
You know, we look at the positive side of things and, you know, any press is good press at the end of the day.
I've definitely learned, being in the public eye for a couple of years, I've definitely learned that any fucking publicity is good publicity. It's a real thing, man.
100%.
And I think it's a good inspiration as well, isn't it, for like people that are coming up as well, that you're always going to get critics, man.
Of course.
Just gotta fuck them fuckers off and just be like, use that.
Yeah, man.
Negative. Yeah. Just be like, I'm going to prove you fucking wrong, man. Like, fuck it, you. Like,
pretty much feed off that negativity. Yeah, exactly. Fuck you, man.
Not even that. Off it as if to say, like, all right, if people are hating on you and talking about you, and then it means they're talking about you and doing something. If you're trying to promote something, then you have to understand that when you're trying to promote something, just because it ain't positive feedback, it don't mean that your job ain't doing. You're just doing your job the same way.
100%.
People are talking about it, so you're still promoting.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? So promotion, I've got mixed up with the word promotion. Promotion don't mean that everybody's going to like your thing and everybody's going to love you and mm-hmm. give you praises, man. Promotion is promoting your thing, so it can go two ways.
100%.
A lot of people change because of negativity, but you yourself are just saved 100% real to what, you know, your own person and what you...
Because you know what it is, bro? I am real. Exactly. That's
there
why.
You yeah. There you go.
That's the only reason, bro. Like, anyone who weren't real wouldn't be able to like hold, like, because everything that people say about me, like, they say, oh, look at this fake guy talking Jamaican. Like, listen, first of all, you don't know me. And if you did know me and you was to have a little bit more of a check and research in my life, you realize I don't talk Jamaican all the time. I talk it when I'm doing my music because I like dancehall music. Now, hear what I'm saying. If I like dance and reggae music, that's the sound I like, yeah?
Yes, mate.
Listen to what I'm saying. I don't like hip-hop. I don't like grime. So I listen to dance and reggae music because that's the music that I like to hear. I like that sound. Now, if you had a British or rap or hip-hop over the reggae beat, I'm not going to like it because that's not the sound that I like.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm doing music, I just portray the sound of music that I like to hear.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
It's called art. It's called art, man.
It's called art,
right? You know what I mean?
Like, we've said this on previous podcasts that music isn't just about, you know, it is art, like you say, isn't it? Everything to do with it.
100%.
Pure art, man.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's expression.
It's like with me, man. Like, right. I do the DJ and techno and stuff. I don't wear black every day. I don't go and play underground, you know. I am different outside, but in that thing, I am real, and that's my jam.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. That's real, because I actually do go to Jamaica. Like, I actually stay there. Man. Like, I've actually stayed in the ghettos. I've actually go to the worst areas, real bad, man, real bad places, mm-hmm. like real Jamaica. Like, I really, really actually do it. And and apart from that, like, I'm not a donut. Like, I'm not, you can't say so. Like, a man can say a whole heap of things on the internet, but I'll tell you something now. It's going to take a certain man to have to come and fucking say that to my face. If whoever's bad enough to say it to my face is going to be too much of a bad boy and not even going to want to do that, because they're not on that. They're not on no jokey thing. Like, real bad boys have got nothing to prove. So they ain't going to even, I'm not no threat. I'm M.R.Y.I. I'm happy. I'm good for the gal, and, you know, 100 gal, you know, I don't portray no badness or nothing that a man can say, he thinks he's a bad boy, you know?
It's pretty easy for people to sit behind a typewriter and be a typewriter tough guy.
Yeah, man.
That's an easy thing to do. You know what I mean? Typewriter tough guy. Right.
Yeah.
And
I'll give you
like, again, man. Like, you know, you always seem happy all the time. You know, life's too short. You know, enjoy life. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I'm not happy with time. It's just I am.
You seem to me like you are.
Yeah, no, I try. Yeah, man, I try. I do try and stay positive most of the time. You know? Yeah, man.
That's what we've all got to do these days, right?
True.
So, like, going back to obviously your music, obviously gained a lot of exposure over the years on a lot of platforms. Like you mentioned earlier, done Radio 1 Extra, which is a massive, massive achievement, and good as well. And Black Box, and you've done other platforms as well. How did you go about, obviously I contacted you, but, you know, did you have your sort of lyrics prepared for it? Was you just going there just as freestyle? I know you freestyled on Radio 1 Extra and stuff like that. What's the process of doing it all, you know?
Most of it's just I do write, like, when I say most of it's just like, yeah, at that time there, it was it was a crazy time, man. Yeah, most of the freestyles and the Black Box and all that, it was just like certain little bits of lyrics taken from other places and put together with new stuff, and just, yeah, it was a mad little time still.
Yeah, because you went real hard in the mic there. I thought it was really good. On the top of the T-show, that was really good.
Yeah, man, I think that was the connection with when my grime, UK drum and bass grime culture growing up connected with the culture that I grew up around, Jamaican music and the culture and stuff. Like, I think that's when them two cultures connected on them freestyles there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's weird. Actually, kind of carrying on with the freestyling and performing, with your video shoots and performances and everything you've done over the years, like Notting Hill Carnival, going off to Jamaica, is there any of the performances that really stand out for you, that like the ones that you've enjoyed the most? I'm sure you enjoy them all, because performing, but is there any that like really stand out, that were the best shows, that, you know, stick out for you?
I think Notting Hill Carnival, couple of the Notting Hill Carnival stick out. Not the, obviously the last time, it was done last year. I got to the Rampage stage. Wiley's clocked me. He's run down the steps, like, so there's two sides to the Rampage stage. You got one bit with a DJ there, and you got one bit with the artist and go up.
Yeah.
So he's up on the DJ stage, so he's running down the stairs, and he's, yo, M.Dot, yo, love your music, and we're talking and that, and I'm saying, like, bust me, bro, you get me, bust me, let me get me back up on the stage, you get me? So he's got me up there, he's got me through, I've gone in, they've given me new Adidas t-shirt, trainers and all this straight away, boom, completely changed my outfit into Adidas, gone up on stage. I had a choice, like they was like, yo, they're running out of time, because obviously I weren't scheduled in. They was like, we're running out of time, you can either do like about 30 seconds of your own tune, or you can just back up UK Apache Indian and do original Nutter. And I was like, you know what, fuck it, man. I'll just back up.
100%.
Back up, so yeah, man was on stage with
That's fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was good, man.
Another one as well, when me and Stormy was at Carnival, a different stage. Mad thing, I think it was the first time I'd been Carnival with Stormy, and we got on the stage and absolutely tore the place to pieces. Crazy, crazy, crazy. I think the footage is on Facebook, and Instagram and everything.
Notting Hill is a good party, man. It's been many a year since I went to Notting Hill, man. I can't even remember the last time I went there. When I was a kid, I used to go fucking every year, man. There's some fucking sound systems there, mate. And some of the best food, man. You want some jerk chicken? You get yourself in that fucking center square and get some jerk chicken in Notting Hill Carnival, man. Holy fuck.
Yeah. Yeah. One second, I'm just sending a text there, one sec.
Yeah, no worries. No worries, man.
Mum's just calling me, that's all. She
must no worries.
Don't piss them off.
Yeah, you got to check in with Mama.
Yeah.
No problem.
You all good?
Yes, man. Sorry about that, Mum. My life is just one big crazy rush. It feels like sometimes it's just like crazy.
All good, buddy.
Is
Mum
all good, yeah?
Mum's all good. Yeah. Mum's all good. She wants me to know when I'm going to come and drop her a dinner.
That's my mum. She's had a couple of wines.
What are you smoking there? Cigarette? Or you got yourself a joint?
Cigarette, yeah. I'm just a cigarette at the moment. Yeah.
Yeah, man. In Canada, it's lovely that it's legal over here.
Yeah, I got some nice plants growing in my garage right now, brother. I got an 8-foot by 8-foot tent going with some fucking Sunday driver going. I got 3 plants that are like, fuck me, they're about 4 foot tall and 3.5 foot wide. Yes, buddy. They're about 3 weeks into flower. Actually, if you go on my Instagram, Perky073, you'll see my little grow show. It's fucking, I love this place, mate. I'm allowed to grow 4. Legal all fucking year long, bro.
Well, the funny thing is, you know what? I've got a big fan base in Canada. When you look at my statistics on my Instagram, you'll see that Toronto is the second biggest city that of my following.
Is that right? Eh?
Cool. Yeah, I've got a lot of fans in Canada. So I'm due to visit.
Well, if you ever come over, you got to come over to the West Coast too, man. That's the East Coast, but West Coast is the best coast, and it's where all the good bud is, my friend.
Okay. Good bud,
yeah. You want some good bud in Canada, you got to come to fucking BC, mate.
Okay.
So, going back from where we were going, obviously you've been really successful with Cook and Vibe, man. It's a good show.
Respect.
And I really enjoyed watching them, actually, to be fair. I subscribed and all that stuff. So,
Ricky, respect, man.
How did that, how did you go about starting it? Like, what was the thought process to be like, hey, I'm going to start a cooking show?
So basically, you know, at the time when I was doing my thing and having viral tunes and this and that, you know, I've always been a man who likes food. I've always been a man who likes experimenting with food. I've always been a man who's proper deep in touch with Caribbean food and Caribbean flavors, fruits and vegetables and stuff like that. So I used to just like, that was my personal thing in my own time. Do you know what I mean? That was my time away from the public eye, away from all the craziness. That was like me and my time, just like doing my little thing, my little cooking and just, you know? Yeah. And I used to post up like on my story, just post up like food that I cooked and stuff like that. And it just like got to a point where like stupid amount of people were messaging me like, yo, your food looks banging, bro. Like, oh, you should make a cookbook. And then sometimes to the fans and ask them if I should do a cookbook. And the response was just like crazy. So I thought, well, okay, I actually sat down and started to write a cookbook. I think I wrote about 2 pages and I thought, oh, fuck this, man. This is going to take a million years, man. I'm not really on the book writing thing. I forget somebody else to do that sitting there for me. But I said, all right, let me just do a YouTube channel. I called one guy that I know, editor, director, and just said, bro, if you're up for it, like, let's just do it, you know? And we was lucky because I had my following, you know? So we released our first ever episode on a page that we had, like, it was literally nothing, you know? It was a brand new channel, brand new concept, brand new everything. And I remember we said, between us, we said, if we get 10,000 views, then we drop another episode. And I think we got about 16,000 views after about, I think we hit over 10K just over a week. And then I think it will hit about 16, 17K. And we was like, all right, yeah, we drop another episode. We dropped the watermelon shrimp episode, which seems to be quite like a staple dish for us now, quite a known episode that people refer to when they talk about Cook on Vibe, the watermelon shrimp. And that hit like over 100K. Like the first week, I think it's on about 250,000 views now. But that, wow, that one really shook that. And for the second episode, you know, it was cool. Worked on it for about, worked with the same guy for about probably about 8 months, and it was just quite difficult working with him, where he was like busy doing music videos and other stuff, and kind of there was a lot of breaks. It wasn't very like. It wasn't, we did work dealing with it professionally, but, you know, I was trying, but there's only so much I can do, you know? So I decided to start working with somebody else, Connect for Entertainment. And since we started working in like the October of that year, you know, we went right through and we said, all right, we're going to finish it. We're going to go to Jamaica and do the season in Jamaica, do a season, call it Yardam Vibe. You know, and we went Jamaica. He was already there. He was there for about 6 months or whatever. And I went there and we done the episode, and it really just took off, man. Like literally from the time we dropped the, you know, we would have say season two, you know, episode one, the first episode in Jamaica, and it went crazy, man. You know, the subscribers went up, and then we worked with Ras Kitchen. You know, they've got a lot of subscribers, a lot of following. So, yeah, that benefited us. And now we're in season three. We've done the whole Jamaica Yard and Vibe. Now it's in Cook and Vibe International. We're just traveling around the place, doing some different, different countries' recipes, and also trying to go to a different country once a month. So.
Nice. So when are you going to come over to West Coast of Canada and cook us up some jerk chicken, buddy?
You know what? It's more of a focus on the country and their actual authentic dishes to that country. You know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nice.
So yeah, we've done a Turkish episode when I was in Turkey getting my teeth done.
Yeah.
We've just dropped a Mexico episode. Mexican episode, so we went to a really authentic restaurant in London, and we were tasting some proper food, you know, and then we cooked some food, some chocolate mole sauce.
Nice,
man. Yeah,
yeah, something a bit different, but yeah, man. Yeah, Cook on Vibe is a good thing, man. It's a good thing. It's definitely exciting to see what's going to come in the future for that.
And actually, talking about, obviously, you're going to have. I'm sure you've got lots and lots of plans for the future. And we've kind of touched on some of your highlights, like obviously Notting Hill was probably, you know, some good nights. But what are your plans for the future? What do you have lined up? Do you want to tell all the folks kind of, you know, some of your future plans?
Yeah, man. So with Cook on Vibe, you know, soon we're going to be releasing some sort of either a sauce or a drink. We're not too sure what we're going to be dropping first. But Cook on Vibe, you can expect Cook on Vibe to get bigger and better and see us on TV one day, with our own show on TV.
Awesome.
Musically, you're gonna get a 4-track dancehall EP that I'm going to drop very, very soon with a new single that's coming out soon. And that is going to be kind of this is the first time I spoke about it on camera or on recording, but that's going to be a kind of end of an era.
Okay.
Okay. Cool,
that's four tracks there. So I've got four tracks that I'm going to release, one music video for it. And then I've got another song that I've done recorded already, which is a little bit different, man. So that's there. When I drop that, then there's going to be a bit of a change in
my...
A
change up? That's fucking awesome. Yeah. When can folks expect to see those next tracks? Like how long? Month or two kind of thing?
Recently? Literally, yeah. I mean, the single's going to be out within the next 3 weeks. The EP will be out in the next month and a half.
Nice.
And then probably sort of like Christmas time, everyone will start seeing the change, or the end of the year, they start seeing the change here.
Right on, man. I'm sure a lot of people are looking forward to hearing the new stuff.
Well, nobody knows, so
right? You know what I mean?
Whoever's watching this now, kind of hearing it for the first time, I ain't really said nothing about it or anything like that.
Well, we appreciate you sharing on our show, buddy. Totally, man.
No problem.
That's fucking awesome, bro.
I just want to just step back just a little bit about your time in Jamaica. You obviously done your Cook and Vibe series there. You also done a song out there, was it with Lavish?
Yeah,
and obviously you've done that. How was your time out in Jamaica anyway? Just out of curiosity, you know?
Yeah, man, I love Jamaica. That's home, man. That's home. I feel more at home in Jamaica than I do here.
Yeah. How many times have you been out there now?
I lost count, bro.
Yeah, really?
I've lost count, yeah.
Somewhere I've never been. I traveled in my days, but I never made it to Jamaica. I've done Morocco and a few places, Brazil.
Who is there? Right, I was there for the most of the year this year. I was there for pretty much the whole of January. I come back to the whole of January and most of February. I come back for a few weeks and then I went straight back.
Yeah.
I was there for a few weeks and then I had to come back because of this COVID. And that's when COVID-19, I literally, the day I got sent, I got had to leave Jamaica. The day I got home was the day that Boris Johnson locked down the country.
Is that right, eh?
Yeah.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't wait for this shit to be over. Eh?
Yeah,
I'm real.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, for the younger generation coming up now, you've obviously definitely shown that you put your mind to something and you really work hard at it, you can achieve, you know, many, many things. Is there a message for young artists or producers out there that you'd like to relay a message and say, you know, just to help them boost their careers or get them started if they're nervous or, you know, come out of their shell?
Yeah, man, just go on and do your thing, man, and just stay firm and stay strong, you know? Yeah, it's just hard work, man. Everything is just hard work, and then you just got to, like, the only other thing is, like, it's a lot of, what a lot of people don't realise in this smoking industry is a lot to do with your mind, you know? Enough people are weak-minded, so they can't really take the stress and the pressure, you know? But just know, say, if you're going to do this, then expect the pressure, expect the bad comments, you know? Expect
all of that. It's almost like that. You touched on earlier, you know, the negativity, you know, obviously there's going to be some of that, but I think your message is that just keep pushing through, right? And just stay real. Be true, man.
Yeah, man.
Be true to your roots and yourself.
For real. Right? For real.
For real.
Yeah, man. Like you say, look at you now. You're doing well, man. And it's nice to see someone local from where I am, you know, do well. And that's why I
said there were many.
Yeah, it's good, man.
Yeah, there weren't many, was there?
No.
It's, you know, I think it's quite an English trait that sometimes the English people like to bash people that fucking do good for themselves. But I think there's some of us out there that truly, like, appreciate when someone achieves something. Man, They've worked hard for it, and it doesn't matter fucking who they are or where they're from. If you put the work in, you deserve the kudos. You know what I mean? Yeah. And again, we appreciate you coming on, buddy. Like, really is
no problem, man. Show me. No problem at all.
Yeah, so yeah, like I say, it's been great having you on. M.R.
Thank you, my bro, man. I appreciate it. Do you know what? I just want to touch on before, like I was saying, coming from Russia and doing yourself.
Yeah,
like I actually remember the drum and bass kind of little like era that was there.
Yeah,
Ben Butler and a few other boys that I know, like. You know, it was there, and it did come from there. You must know Trevor. You know Trevor, DJ Rippin?
Yeah, because I knocked about with Wizard, Sam Ross.
Okay.
Luke Smith, little Luke Smith, little Nathan.
Yeah, I remember we used to do the Ivy and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's the Ivy, man. This place.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's definitely propelled from there. But yeah, man, just I appreciate it, man. I'll definitely be hitting Canada soon.
Yes, mate.
And like I say, man,
keep in touch.
You know, from that little island.
Yeah.
Not many people made it off, man.
No, they didn't.
It was I think a lot of people don't realize, because you hear a lot of rappers' stories and their stuff, because they come from London and Manchester. And even though I grew up some part of my life in London, you know, it weren't a nice place where we come from. Mm-hmm. It weren't nice. Like, it's not a nice place, man. No, it's very, very poverty stricken. It's very violent and poverty stricken, and you know, it's hard to make it out, man. Not a lot of people make it out, bro. So it's good to see you living over there and doing well.
Yeah, because I lived in Rushenden for a bit, then I lived in Queensway Estate and shit.
Yeah, that's where I was born. I was born in Queens. That's where I was born, man. That's my roots.
Because my mum was a mum, and it was like, fuck, you know. And it was
hard, man. It was hard. It was a hard time, but yeah, man, we give thanks for life. Give thanks for life. It's a blessing. Yeah.
Every day is a good day, man. Every day is a good day.
And just like we said previously, you know, it shows that, you know, you put the hard effort in and you want to make something of yourself, you fucking can do it all day long. So
100%.
Self-promotion and staying real, man.
Yeah.
Fucking staying real.
That's it, man.
Right. 100%. Yes, like I said, brother, it's been a fucking pleasure chatting with you, mate.
Yeah, and
thank you.
We'll keep in touch. And hopefully one day we'll see you over
no problem
Canada, and we'll share some of the
100%
the fine stuff that we've got to offer in BC.
100%, man.
We
respect.
We've got the Instagram page, so I'll do all the promoting on there and stuff. I mean, me and Craig have only been doing this for like 3 months, but we're music geeks and we're just going to keep going at it. So yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
We'll promote you on there and put your description up and put you on the podcast. So respect. Thank you very much.
Awesome, man.
Respect. I appreciate it.
Take it easy.
No problem, fellas. Take care, man.
Yeah, take it easy, man.
Take it easy.
Thank you very much.
Bye. Take it easy.